Welcome to the Ralph Moore Podcast. Gain a leadership advantage as Ralph pulls wisdom from his bag of over 50 years' experience in planting and leading multiplying churches. Our goal is to help you live as a leader you'd want to follow. You'll learn about making disciples and planting churches, but beyond that, you'll gain practical wisdom about subjects like how to manage your team, handling difficult people, pulling a congregation off a growth plateau, and even money management.
Hey, welcome to the podcast. Today is part two of my interview with Kia Vauer, and it's an exciting story of how she went from being trafficked in the sex industry to recovery and redemption with Jesus. Very, very fun, exciting story to hear.
So then your brother gets you back to Dallas, and things begin to pick up and go better from there. How does that get to the point where you met John?
Right. So when I come back to Dallas, and I'm in a pretty beat up state, but
I just want to insert here.
Yes. That
Kia has a ministry to young women who are being trafficked. And that's part of the life that she lives today. So we're going to get to there. So if you're listening to this and you're going, where's this all going? And we're going to get in a little bit more about church multiplication, because that's a huge thing. I met some wonderful missionaries from Africa to the United States the day that I met Kia. And I want to hear a little bit about that. But I want to also hear about what she's doing and actually doing on another continent. But go ahead. I want to hear more of your story. And I think when we hear the words trafficking, we have no idea really what they mean. We hear about the immigration problem. I heard the other day about trafficking. It was actually the ICE people talking about rescuing children that are just being slave labor in a garment factory in Los Angeles. Part of that whole mess that took place in Los Angeles was them actually going to this place to rescue children who had been not trafficked for sex, but trafficked for just slave labor. So there's a lot going on here that most of us just don't have any idea about, nor do we have any idea what we could do to help. And I think that's part of what we would like to know.
Absolutely. So I got very involved in church really quick. My brother laid the ground rules and said, all those weird books you like to read, because at this point I was also dibbling and dabbling in the occult, because I completely degenerated. The enemy had my mind and my heart and my soul. And so he said, all those weird books, you're going to get rid of those. And we're going to go back to church like we used to when we were little. And I was so ready for it, because I knew enough of what evil was. It's almost like that helped me believe our Heavenly Father more, because the role that church had played in my life, I was always in these situations where certain, even gospel songs would just come up, scriptures would come up that I learned when I was young, things of that nature. The Holy Spirit was always wooing me. And so when I got to Dallas and he made me get rid of all of my books, and he said, we're going to go back to church. Well, mind you, I had regressed in my mind to about that of a six-year-old child. That was actually around the time when I was first molested. But that's kind of probably opened the door for some of what came later. But so that's what we did. We watched TBN all the time. He always had gospel music playing in the house. His wife actually was a gospel singer. And so I was in an environment that fed my soul. And I was very hungry to change. And from having that lifestyle, I went to working to Wendy's. And I was happy for my $89 every 2 weeks, okay? Because it was honest money. And so I became normal. And in the church, they had a program called the Master's Commission, where you would intern. And the first year was no dating. The second year, you can date. The first year was rough, you know? But we were like Bereans. We were learning scripture, and there was scripture memory and all these different things. We were being mentored in a 21st century ministry. I hadn't heard of Bishop Jakes before, but we were right there in that that environment, which kind of put me back in some of the places where we were before, at the Mabee Center in Tulsa, Oklahoma, with Bishop or with Pastor Billy Joe Daugherty, and just my childhood roots in church, my faith. I was able to wrap my heart around the faith. And I wish I could say that it was my reaching out to the Father, but really it was his rescuing me. I would say my brother, and I've said this before, was instrumental in my rescue, but Christ was my rescuer. Because until I denounced everything that I was in, until all the demons got cast out of me, because that's a story for another time. But until my heart was fully surrendered to Christ. And I have to mention that really quick, because that happened in my brother's living room. It didn't happen at church, where there was a kind of a demonic encounter. It wasn't kind of, it was a demonic encounter. And I called on the name of Jesus. And there was literally, I was hearing, I didn't see anything, but I was hearing demonic scurrying and things of that nature. And I felt static as something was in my face. It was hell. Okay. I don't know. I didn't see. Some could say that was a psychotic break. I know a demon when I experience one, especially having been in the occult. And so I literally asked Jesus, I said, if you are real, cover me from the top of my head to the soles of my feet. And that was verbiage that came from being a child in church. And I remember the old church mother saying these things. And I finally understood how significant it was to call on the name. And so when I did that, I felt a warm sensation literally from the top of my head to the soles of my feet, and I fell asleep instantly. The next day, it's like the birds were chirping. It was a perfect day. The fear was gone. I'm not exaggerating. That is what happened. I know that the power of Christ came over me, and that's when my heart was surrendered to Christ. And so,
I want to interrupt again.
yes.
There's a lot of us pastors out there, and to some degree, at one point it was me,
Right.
who would just chalk off everything that you just said to some psychotic experience. And we say that we believe the scripture, but then when it comes down to actually experiencing some of the things that are in the word, if what you had was just a psychotic experience, then how come it went away so quickly after having taken years to build up? And the
When
influence
I called on his name.
that's right, that's right. So, but if we also, if we're going to say that that's a psychotic experience, then
Right.
we really, to be intellectually honest, have to go back to the New Testament and say those were psychotic experiences, which now we're in a position of accusing Jesus of being a fraud or just being wrong or dumb.
Exactly.
That we in our modern understanding of things have somehow grasped truth that somehow Jesus failed to get a hold of the Son of God who died for our sins. It's hard to put all of that together with the doubts that people register and the little intellectual arguments that we get caught in. I don't pretend to understand all this stuff.
Right.
Don't have a lot of experience. I do have some experience with it, with people. Twice I've seen people that were loaded on heroin instantly be sober,
Yeah.
and we were certain it was demonic. I've had a couple crazy things happen. I don't pursue that. Don't want to pursue it, but it pursues you sometimes.
Right.
And we need to admit that the scriptures are right, and that we don't understand everything. And I think your story is, as I'm hearing you talk, I've read the book, so I know what's going on. But as I'm hearing you talk, I'm thinking about people who normally would be listening to this podcast and be going, "Ooh, where are they going with this thing? This is," and it's like, I just want to say to you guys, let's just be intellectually honest. And to be intellectually honest, we have to be consistent with our actual theology
Right.
meets the road that we walk. And here's a lady who's telling us a story about that road, and how the Holy Spirit transformed her life when she called upon the name of the Lord. So go forward. I'm sorry for preaching so much, but
No, this
let me
is
get that over
absolutely
with. Because I think
beautiful. And
sometimes we pastors, in some to some degree, we function almost as if we were atheists, as if God doesn't really exist, and this is all a system rather than a relationship with the living, powerful, Almighty God.
right. It's amazing, because one of the biggest questions that I have had, and many people have, is why would a loving God allow a teenage girl to suffer like this? And so the question exists in our hearts and minds when we hear of these things, doesn't it?
Yeah.
And so, but the word has such a roadmap and such a vivid expression of human challenges. But the answer is sin. This started in the garden. The enemy wants to cause us to doubt that he's a loving heavenly father. And the reality is, he is a loving heavenly father, and the secret things belong to him. Can't we ask Job?
Yeah.
Some stories are so that the ages to come can understand the glory of a father who always had a plan. And so I can say that now, through years of understanding and Word of God, getting into the scripture and just letting that minister to me and come alive. And I've seen his hand, even though when I walk with a limp, but that's just a reminder that he touched me.
That's good. That's good.
That's just a reminder that he afflicted me, but that his grace is sufficient. And so, if we fast forward to after the master's commission, actually at the end of that program in the second year, I was able to date. I had no idea that a pastor from West Africa would want anything to do with me. Okay, because even though I came up in the church, I had gone into that wilderness experience so much so that I did not even think that I was marriage material. And so I thought something was wrong with them, but I said, you know what? This will scare him away. And so I told him my story and I didn't leave out the details. And his response to me was, that's the greatest redemption story that I've heard. And I'm thinking something's really, really wrong with this man. So this is like nobody says that after hearing the details of my life. And so that was the first peak of curiosity. And then it was after that, that we began a friendship, and it was really short-lived because he told me he was looking for a wife, and I didn't realize the rate and speed that African men travel when it comes to looking for a wife. But it was like, this is interesting. And so we knew a lot of the same people, and we went through our marriage counseling, and we ended up married in 2002. Now, mind you, again, this is just the comedy of heaven that we would come together, with our backgrounds. But that's exactly what we did. And we started a family, and we were in ministry from day one because he was an associate youth pastor. We moved on from serving in ministry there under some very unscrupulous circumstances we found ourselves in. And I'll just say, my oldest son was conceived prior to us getting married. And that caused him to lose his job. And a lot happened after that. But we were married with a small child on the way. So we just went to another church where no one knew us and began repair. And over the years, we were in youth ministry. And over the years, we held various titles. He was youth pastor again. youth minister, from children's director. We've done so many different things in youth ministry. And then we had three children, boy, girl, boy, and back to back. And that is really a very, very condensed version of what happened. But in 2016, I always knew that he would pastor again. I always knew that one day he would be a senior pastor. And so it finally happened that he felt that our Heavenly Father spoke to his heart, and we planted our first church, which was Mosaic Church. And we did that as a non-denominational church. And, that was 20. Oh my gosh, I thought I silenced all my alarms. That was in 2016. And so that was short-lived for a few reasons. One reason was there was a pastor that we met who held an executive position within the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. He had a couple hundred churches under his belt, or a little bit less, where he had it was a, what was the word, mission facilitator. And so basically he was an African pastor from Eritrea, and we met him on a Father's Day where we were ready to throw our hands in ministry because we had outgrown the home we were in doing house church, and we were looking for another space, and nothing was going through that particular week. And so we met him at a restaurant. John tried to avoid him because he said, "That's a pastor. I don't want to talk to anybody right now." And in an interesting way, we got into a conversation, and I told him, I said, "Well, he's a pastor." And they started talking. And so he said, "Listen, if once they started talking, John revealed that we were looking for another space." And he said, "I know just the place." And so we actually started our church. Next, its next transition out of a house and into a church at a Lutheran church. And so we just rented out the space. And then when we met Dr. Johannes, he offered us another space. We moved there. And you could say the rest is history because our church did not like being in the Lutheran setting. And so we had a multicultural church. And they felt like we were trying to change up on them, and really it was just a space for us. But one by one, they left, and they didn't want to be there. And so John had some more conversation with Dr. Johannes, and he said, "Listen, we're not as strange and weird as you may think. Would you consider talking with the pastor about maybe coming on with us, and we will fund and help your mission?" And so that's exactly what happened. And the church that started off as a house church and didn't grow much further than that became Mosaic Mission Network. So we switched focus. And that's when John started resourcing the pastors through LCMS to go to seminary, to get their credentials, and to then plant their churches.
Are you resourcing pastors in Africa or in Africa and in the United States?
In Liberia and in the United States, and they
I
would
met some
come.
really wonderful people that
Yes.
very close to you.
Yes. And so they actually, some were already here, and then like his brother came through that process as well. And he came from Liberia to come here, and they began planting their churches. And so John had oversight over that process, and that's what Mosaic Mission Network was all about. Fast forward, we've been doing that for about 8 years. I became a missionary for the network.
If you enjoyed today's podcast, be sure to subscribe and check his blog at ralphmoore.net.